Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. We are having a history lesson quiz by the professor today, this Friday, February 20th. And so far, Tim Rowan has all the answers correct out of all the other text messages I've been getting. The answer to your statement, and go ahead, and who made this quote again? What was the quote?
I have not yet begun to fight.
John Paul Jones.
Correct. Okay, I'm going to tell you who said this. Where did he say it? Captain John Parker said this in 1775. Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here.
I know this. Say it again.
Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here. Captain John Parker, April of 1775, where did he say that?
Oh, yes. The first shot heard around the world.
Right. Lexington, Massachusetts.
I couldn't remember if it was Concord or Lexington.
I visited there, and both Lexington and Concord, those villages, cities, they both argue, where did the war begin? So we basically say the war began at Lexington, Concord. The people at Lexington were on the village green, and then they were dispersed. They fled. And then on the bridge over to Concord, a lot more shots were fired. And then the British, on their way back, marching back to Boston. Well, how far was it? It was, I'm going to say, 17 miles back to Boston. There was a Minuteman behind every tree, and the British suffered a lot of casualties on their march back, and that was the beginning of the war. Okay, here's one everybody should get. It's in a speech by who? With malice toward none, with charity for all.
Off the top of my head, without even thinking about it, I'm going to say, let's see if these other guys. No, I'm not. Okay. My gut said Abraham Lincoln.
Correct. In his second inaugural.
Oh, hey, I got Bob from Hillsdale. He said Lincoln, yep, too.
So. Yeah, he could see the war was coming to an end. It wasn't done yet. Lee had not surrendered yet, but he could say, hey, with malice toward none, with charity for all, let us heal up the nation's wounds to care for them that have borne the battle and for their widow. And he meant, I think, for both North and South. The war came upon both North and South, Lincoln believed, because of the sin of slavery. Okay, here's another one. It's not a president. I'll give you that hint. Not a president.
Okay.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
And this was the same person about the conduct of their character, not the color of their skin.
Yes. You
know, let's throw that little extra hint in there. Yeah, everybody's getting this one right. This was too easy, he said. ML King.
Okay, all right. Let me give you another one that's won't be quite as easy. Whose campaign slogan, a president, whose campaign slogan was, quote, he kept us out of war. Whose campaign slogan was, quote, he kept us out of war?
okay. He kept us out of war. But it was a war that we eventually did get into, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And he didn't want to do it, but an event took place that forced him to do it after he won his election. You guys getting this one? I got crickets going on this one. Okay, I'm going to say it was a campaign slogan for FDR.
No.
No. He kept us out of war. No clue. Everybody's saying no clue. Wilson, what a commie.
Well, it was Wilson.
Yeah.
The irony of it, he said that in 1916, and by 1917, we were in the war. But
we were in the war.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so there, some of these are easy, and some of them, this one will be easy. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And it was actually screwed up. That what they wrote for him to say, he actually screwed it up, didn't memorize it. And many said it was because of him being so excited to be the first person to ever step on the moon.
Okay, I've never heard that, but I won't dispute it.
Yeah.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Who said that?
Yeah. Which astronaut? Yep. Right. Okay. Now I got two. Bob in Hillsdale is saying Armstrong, and John in Petoskey is questioning Buzz Aldrin, and everybody else is saying Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong.
Yes.
Neil Armstrong. Here's a real easy one. Real easy. 1987. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I actually saw that speech live. And again, that president that said it while there, they took it out of his speech. He put it back in. They took it out again. Mr. President, you can't say it. And actually, I don't know if you know this or not, but they claim that the notes of the speech itself up on the podium actually did not have that, and Reagan put it back in. Have you heard any confirmation of that conspiracy?
I asked. That said, I know his advisors wouldn't want him to say it. They didn't like it when he called the Soviet Union the evil empire. He told it like it was.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was true, and it shook up Gorbachev, and it helped bring about the end of the Cold War. I think it was right. And the Berliners that heard that, they all loved it. Germany loved it. Yeah, Ronald Reagan said that.
Well,
for sure.
Speaking of Berliners, who spoke in German while in Germany and said, "Ich bin ein Berliner." Ein Berliner.
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, John F. Kennedy. I am a Berliner. Yes. Yep. Yes. Okay, here's another. This one's easy. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And I'll let these guys pipe in. Oh, wow. Captain Jeff got that JFK as it came out of my mouth. Good one, Jeff. Cliff Delaney, first one to get it right. I know the answer to this, too. This was, I believe, December 8th, 1941. Oh, Tim. No. I think is wrong on this one. He's saying Churchill.
No, it was FDR. It was before the war. It was in respect to the Depression.
Oh, I thought it was in his speech to Congress asking for a declaration of war.
No, not then. He didn't say it then.
No?
No, he did not say it then.
When did you say he said it?
Actually, where did I? 1933. It was in response to the Depression. what happened was everybody, after the stock market crashed, everybody pulled their money out of the banks and were afraid to invest and spend. And that caused the entire economy to screech, close up. For any economy to work, people got to spend and invest. You're looking toward the future. You're gonna build that addition. You're going to buy that car. You're going to invest in that business. But if you put your money in a mattress and don't spend it, you're putting every, and if everybody does that, that fear brings the economy to a stop. It seizes. It's like an engine with no oil. That's what happens.
Got it.
Okay, this was not actually said, but it was in a little plaque on his desk that said, "The buck stops here."
Okay, guys. Now, I believe this question, a little hint. The president was Democrat?
Yes.
And this took place after his decision to bomb a country.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't remember the exact.
You're saying it's been on his desk the whole time.
Well, it was on his desk for a while.
And, okay, well,
and it's, and he's attributed to that. The buck stops here. In other words, you can't keep passing the buck. Stops here. He didn't. He wasn't going to pass the buck.
Oh, Captain Jeff is correcting us about the words, the first words spoken on the moon.
Okay.
Answer was Houston, Tranquility Base here. The eagle has landed.
Okay, that's true. That's true. I mean, yes. He was in the.
He was still inside the capsule. This you said. Yes. You said when he stepped out.
All right. Make that guy sit in the back.
Captain Jeff gave us a thumbs up. Okay,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody else is getting this one right. So Tim, Cliff, John, Bob, and Hillsdale is Truman. President Truman said that. Or had it on his desk.
How about this one? I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah, everybody's going to say Donald Trump, but that's not him. No.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
No. But he's not, we're not going to talk about his cigar. Go ahead, guys. Give it to me. I know you know this one. Yeah. Slick Willie, Clinton. Yep, you guys got it right.
Right.
Bill Clinton.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly right.
Yes. Hey, the famous blue dress, do you know that's in now in the Smithsonian? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, go check it out. Hey, we're going to wrap this up. Final segment of our fun game with Pastor Chatfield today. History lesson, quiz. We'll wrap it up. Final segment. We'll be right back.
Road Trip, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip, Likely to Succeed, makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. Our Second Amendment rights are under attack, and as Attorney General, I'll make constitutional carry a reality and defend your Second Amendment freedoms. No more permits for law-abiding citizens to exercise the rights and protect their families. I've stood up for liberty. Now stand with me to make Michigan red again. Endorse me at the March Convention to safeguard our Constitution. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion. And we got a new listener I just became aware of texting me in from Indianapolis, Indiana. We have a retired police officer coming through Northern Michigan last year or a couple years ago, actually. Heard me on the radio and has been listening to us. Simple Radio app, I believe she said. Yeah, Simple Radio. Becky says, Slick Willie. So yes, even Becky got it right from Indianapolis, just a little late from me seeing it. So right before the break. Let's wrap this up. Do you have a couple more good ones for us? Let's pick a good one or two.
Okay, a little bit harder. What incident in Havana Harbor triggered the Spanish-American War? What happened in the harbor, 1898, that helped trigger, was one of the reasons that we got involved in the Spanish-American War?
Spanish-American War, Bay of Havana, that would have been in Cuba?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, Kim Rowan, are you using Grok or something? Captain Jeff knew it. Let's see. And Bob in Hillsdale. Let's give. Yeah, John. Now, see, John in Petoskey, he gives the answer, but then he puts a question mark behind it so he doesn't look like he's making a statement and it's wrong. Nope, Tim says nope. This is off the top of his head. They blew up our ship, the Maine.
Right. Well, we accused them of that. The sinking of the Maine. It became a big cry. Let's remember the Maine. Did they actually do it? That is a question. Did they actually do it? But we blamed them for it.
You're saying it was a conspiracy? They didn't actually blow up the Maine?
It was in the major newspapers in the United States. After that, they it's called yellow journalism. They blame Spain for that.
Okay. All right. So.
And do I think they actually did it? Maybe. But it's awful dumb if they did. I don't really know. Okay. Here's another one. What was the code name for the research project that developed the first nuclear weapons? What was the code name for the research project that developed the first atomic weapons? This would be during early World War II.
Yep, I know the answer, but I'm letting the audience pipe in. Bob in Hillsdale. Yep, he got the first answer correct. Let's see, John got it. Jeff, Captain Jeff got it in Cedarville. No, Cliff, that's the name of the bomb. That's not the name of the project. He came out with Fat Man. No, that's not it. Okay, time's up. It was called the Manhattan Project.
Correct, Manhattan Project. Okay, during World War I, Germany sent a, they thought, a letter to Mexico promising them that if America came into the war and they would fight against America, that Germany would see to it that Mexico would get back Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. The note was intercepted, published in our newspapers, and it really upset us. What was that called? A real big blunder by the Germans to do that, to unsecure was supposedly a secret message that got intercepted.
I have no idea. Let's see if anybody else does. Come on, John. Come on, Tim. He said he liked history back in the 1900s, so that's why he's getting all these right. Anybody? Okay, nobody knows. Go for it.
The Zimmerman note or the Zimmerman telegraph. And it says, whoa, that really upset. The Zimmerman note and then the announcement of Germany to resume unrestricted submarine warfare is what eventually drew us into World War I. Okay, one more thing on World War I. This ship was sunk in 1915. It was a luxury liner, but there were 128 Americans on that ship. What's the name of the ship?
Okay, you're saying it was 1915?
Right. It was a British luxury liner, but there were 128 Americans on the ship, and America was outraged. After that happened, Germany kind of apologized and says, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. But after Russia pulled out of the war because of the Bolshevik Revolution, they announced, well, we're going back to unrestricted German submarine warfare. And that brought us in. But this was in 1950. What's the name of the ship?
Everybody, Bob in Hillsdale, Captain Jeff, Lusitania?
Correct, the Lusitania. Exactly right. Very good. Okay, let's jump to World War II. What's considered the turning point in the Pacific War during World War II? What battle is the turning point of the war?
We'll give them just 10 seconds. We're getting close to the end of the hour. Yep, everybody's saying what I thought initially. Battle of the Midway.
Correct. Battle of Midway. Very, very good.
Excellent. All good right. Job, guys. And thank you, Pastor Chatfield. That was fun. We'll have to do it again sometime.
All right, we'll do it again in the future. Be ready for a quiz, always.
I got to always be ready for those dang teachers, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, buddy. We'll see you on the radio on Sunday, 11 to noon.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hey, everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program